Good morning. It's 27 minutes before the hour on this Wednesday of Holy Week. John Harper, Glenn Leverance, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In the next hour, spiritual direction from Father Marcel Tyone, and we check in with our Wednesday Lenten group of Relevant Radio listeners to see how their journey has been going in these final days of Lent. That's all coming up here. And when we hear the Passion on Good Friday, and of course, you know the character Barabbas in the Passion story. He's in prison. He was involved in a murderous rebellion. And we see that he's given freedom instead of Christ during the trial of Christ. Would you trade places with Barabbas? Let's talk about that now with Alan Wright, who's an author, speaker, theologian, and the principal of Koinonia Academy, a great Catholic private school in Plainfield, New Jersey. Alan, good morning. Would you trade places with Barabbas?
Would I trade places with Barabbas? You know, it's a great question. And as someone who loves the gospel, sometimes when you read all four of the Gospels, and certainly when we look at the Holy Week narratives and the Passion narratives, we do see Barabbas showing up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
So he is a sort of
all
a
four
character, and yeah, all four, and yet he doesn't say a word. And you know, sometimes we were, I think myself, sort of very heavily influenced by Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, where he's very, you know, portrayed as this sort of grotesque figure and sort of mentally ill, and it just have all these things going on. And yet what the gospel reveals about him is that he was an insurrectionist, probably killed somebody. And, you know, maybe he did love God. Maybe he did love Israel and just hated the fact that the Romans were occupying the land, that Rome was controlling the temple. And in his anger, in his, in his rebellion, he killed somebody. And he got caught. And imagine, in terms of the question of trading places with Barabbas, imagine if you're him. You know, here you are in prison, captured by the Romans. And if you're a Roman soldier, you're, you know, hundreds of miles away from home, your family. You're really in the you know, not a key location. If you're a Roman soldier, it's like going to Siberia, I guess. And you're surrounded by these religious fanatics, and you don't understand the language. And they killed one of your buddies. They killed one of your fellow soldiers. Now imagine if you're Barabbas and you're caught, you're captured, and you know you're guilty, and the Romans know you're guilty. Do you think there'd be a place on your body that would not be beaten or bloodied? And I imagine Barabbas sitting in that prison, sort of his eyes sort of half shut, black and blue, his beard sort of caked with blood, and he knows what's going to happen. He's seen firsthand the brutality of the Romans, and yet the crowd shouts something, right? We said it on Palm Sunday, and the crowd is shouting, well, we want Barabbas. And I wonder if Barabbas heard that. He probably did if there was a sizable crowd. And it can be something else to have a crowd yell your name. And so I wonder if Barabbas had a little bit of hope that, hey, the crowd remembers me, they want Barabbas. But what's the next thing that gets yelled? It's crucify him. Crucify him. And I meant, if Barabbas had any hope at all, probably his face fell and like, oh, I know what's happening next. And then he hears the Roman soldiers come down, swords clanging, and the jail opens, and he knows what's going to happen. Again, these Roman soldiers are going to put their fist all over his body, all over his face, and they're going to drag him out to crucify him. And yet the Roman soldiers come down, unlock him, and at some point say, Barabbas, get out, you're free. And it doesn't make sense because he knows he's guilty, and I'm free. I know what I did. And I bet Barabbas got out of there probably as fast as he could. And just, if it was me, I would just be, you know, keep on going unless they change their mind. But I wonder if there's something in human nature that Barabbas, you know, maybe washed himself up and came back, followed the crowd, and saw those three crosses. And I wonder if Barabbas would have looked to the left and said, yeah, I know that guy on the cross. That guy's a thief. I knew him. Yeah, the guy on the right, I'm familiar with that guy as well. But I wonder if he said, you know, who's the guy in the middle? And I wonder if he turned to somebody in the crowd and said, yeah, who is that guy in the middle up there nailed on the cross? And the answer naturally came, well, that's Jesus. He took Barabbas's place. I wonder what Barabbas thought as he sort of fixed his gaze upon the cross. I wonder what Jesus thought as Jesus is also beaten and bloodied and going perhaps in and out of consciousness, looking down, seeing the Roman soldiers gamble for his clothes, seeing his blessed mother and the beloved disciple. I wonder if Jesus ever lifted up his head and looked across and made eye contact with Barabbas. I wonder if Barabbas ever said, or just through his eyes, you can communicate a lot with a look, you know, thank you. And I wonder if Jesus, and I'm sure Jesus looked out with a look of love for he who forgave the soldiers that nailed him to the cross. And I wonder if he said, Barabbas, murderer though you are, I died for you. You know, the name Barabbas also means son of the Father.
Right.
So murderer though he was, God took our place. And I don't know about Barabbas. There are some traditions in the church that have him going on and a changed man. But I think this is a very unique time for us as Catholics. And even on Good Friday, when we have an opportunity to venerate the cross, you know, to the outsider, it must seem very strange that 2,000 years later, followers of this guy Jesus are processing up in churches around the world with an opportunity to venerate, most likely to kiss the cross. But I think that's because we know. We know our own sin, we know our own failings, our own shortcomings. And yet when we look at Jesus, we say, Lord, you took my place. And that, God willing, spurs something in us that for receiving such love, the only acceptable response to love is to love. And we do that through our veneration of Christ, through our service to one another. So to trade places with Barabbas, I think we all can. And I think as Catholics, we have an opportunity to really perhaps just let that sink in, depending on how your Lent has gone, if you've, you know, been you know, really good in your sacrifices and on point, or sometimes say, you know what, life just got in the way, I got distracted. During this Holy Week, during these next few days, we do have an opportunity to fix our gaze upon the cross and to thank Christ for what he has done for us.
Great things to think about, to meditate on, about trading places with Barabbas. Alan Wright, an author, speaker, theologian, the principal of Koinonia Academy in Plainfield, New Jersey, and a contributor to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Alan, thank you for your insight. Have a very blessed Easter.
Hey, God bless you, John. Bye-bye.